Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're going over the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. We're actually in the 12th hour of that study, and I thought I'd do a quick review of the original section of this study to remind you that Paul was writing to Romans he knew, to people in Rome, mostly to what would be called the Gentiles, the Roman Christians. And he was writing to them because evidently at this time, the Jews that had become Christians, followers of Christ, still Jews, but followers of Christ as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the anointed king of Judea. Another group of Jews said they had no king but Caesar. But the Jews, and they were thousands of them in Jerusalem alone, thousands of heads of families were baptized as Christians, Christian families, on Pentecost. Thousands more the next day, thousands and thousands of them in a relatively small community were becoming Christians. They were leaving the social welfare system of Herod and entering into the social welfare system of Jesus Christ and the apostles and what became known as the church, the ecclesia. They operated a social welfare system based on faith, hope, and charity. And Herod operated a social welfare system that was called Corban, but it was the Corban of the Pharisees, because what Christ was doing was also called Corban, but it was a Corban of free will offerings, while the Corban of Herod was compelled offerings. This is what John the Baptist is talking about. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is what the church was doing. And the interesting thing is there was a group of Romans and other nationals of other countries, which were called Gentiles, which is what Gentiles meant, ethnos meant, from other nations. The Jews were considered Gentiles to the Romans because the Jews were another nation other than the Romans. So now Paul's writing Romans, and actually the people receiving these letters are the people in Rome, the Christians in Rome. They weren't all Romans who were getting this letter. What a lot of people are unaware of, although it's mentioned in the New Testament, that Paul had a half-brother. And that half-brother had children. And the half-brother's children married. Well, Putin's was Paul's half-brother. And Putin's son married the daughter of Caradoc, who was a king of Britain, who was under kind of a house arrest. It wasn't just a house arrest. He was under, he could not leave Rome. He had an area that was called Britannia that they lived in the Roman city proper. Paul's half-brother, by his mother Perseide, was Pudentinus, who was the father of a Rufus, who married Gladys, the daughter of Caradoc, who was adopted by the Emperor Claudius and renamed Claudia, or sometimes called Rufina, because of the fact that she was married to Rufus Pudens. And she had a brother named Linus, who became one of the first bishops of Rome, because they all became Christians and followers of Christ. They liked the message of Christ. They actually heard it from Paul and from others. They had two daughters, Perseida and Pudentinia, who built some of the first churches, which were small little churches. They weren't big gathering churches. They actually were marking a grave of thousands of Christians who were killed during the riots when Rome burned under Nero. So all this is, these people all know each other. And Paul is writing these Romans who are also Brits, and very interesting people. Gladys, you know, evidently was a beautiful woman. They were writing poems about her 100 years later still. And she was very tall. I mean, your average Roman was about 5'4". She was very tall, and she actually painted her skin blue at times, evidently, and or at least parts of it, designs on her skin, and was, you know, quite the rage to talk about when they were in Rome. They were highly praised, highly respected people, yet they were prisoners there, like Paul, in this place that they stayed in. Now, once you understand that and understand a little bit more that Rufus Pudens and even his father were financing philanthropic charitable institutions in Great Britain, which is why is the daughter of a king of Great Britain who had fought the Romans marrying this Roman soldier? Because they had an ideas and philosophies and hearts that were similar. Why did they receive Paul? It's because he was preaching a gospel that was right up their alley and understanding. And it sung to their spirit. It sung the song of the Lamb and the song of Moses. So now Paul is writing them, and we're in our 12th hour of discussion about Paul, what he is writing. Well, we've almost made it to 10. We were talking about in chapter 9, how Paul mentions Hosea 1:9. We read, "Then said God, call this name Laomi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." And this is very important to understand this. And on into verse 11, where he talks about the children of Judah and the children of Israel uniting. And this is what was happening in Rome, that the sons and daughters of Cardac were uniting with the Jew Paul. And this is why he's quoting this, is that he's talking to the Romans saying, well, there are some Jews that have traditions that came down through the Pharisees, which I was one in, and I am no more, because I was steeped in the rituals of religion and not the Spirit of God. And he's saying that in Christ there would be this union between Judah and Israel. And he's writing the Romans because it's actually taking place in Rome. These people are being bound again by treaties of marriage. And in other words, not the whole people, but Gladys, and who is now Claudia, and Pudens' family are being united together. And this is the way the unions in the kingdom go, because you were to give no treaty-making powers, according to Deuteronomy 17, no treaty-making powers, no covenant-making powers for you to the gods of other nations, to the rulers of other nations, the ruling judges of other nations. Claudius, who was the emperor of Rome during part of this period of time, and then Nero, they were considered gods. Why were they called gods? Because they appointed all the other gods throughout the empire. Who were these other gods? They were the judges, the ruling judges, the same as the president of the United States appoints all the federal judges throughout the United States. That's exactly why, I repeat it, that the emperors were called gods, because they were apotheos, a pointer of gods. And even George Washington is called apotheos, and that is the name of the painting in the Capitol Dome. You are repeating history, but you don't know history. And so when you read the Bible, you read it out of the context of the history at that time, so you do not understand what men like Paul is telling you, what men like Christ were telling you, what the apostles were telling you, is that there are gods many, there are judges many, there are rulers many, and you are not to make covenants with them, you're not to make agreements with them, you're not to pray to them, you're not to apply to them. If they are the ministers who exercise authority one over the other, you are not to be a part of them. You are to live by faith, hope, and charity. Paul is telling the Romans this. He is not repeating it over and over again because they already know it. It is what attracted them to the gospel of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist and the church. Unfortunately, the church today does not preach that gospel. And so for you're attracted to words and ideas about being saved because you accept Jesus you don't even know. Because these Romans knew him better than you did. And this is why Paul is writing the Romans, telling them that there are Jews that are still clinging to their old baggage of rituals that make the word of God to none effect, of rituals that do not really cast us up as one people. There are no more Greeks, no more Romans, no more Jew. There are believers in what Christ said, live by faith, hope, and charity. Rufus Pudens, like that. Gladys Claudia / Claudia, like that. They became Christians. Linus, like that. They got it. They already had it written in their hearts. They got it. It was the righteous way to go. And so that's why you see Paul mentioning these things of Jezreel. God sows. Christ sows this spirit in our hearts. And we live by that seed of faith. And it grows in us. Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women are over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Bozra. Bozra, the fortress of righteousness. Children, these infants you elect as rulers, these ear-tickling seducers that are elected by the people to be this socialist state that weakens the people. Not tough love, but ridiculous, foolish love that weakens the people. Destroy the path. Take you off the path of Christ, of living by faith, hope, and charity, and not by forcing your neighbor to provide for you the benefits you want through the men that exercise authority. This is why in Romans he's quoting Isaiah. Except the Lord left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like Gomorrah. And that's what the world has become, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's why you see what you see happening in society. The homosexuality and the perversions are a byproduct of the socialist state, of the Corbin of the Pharisees that makes the word of God to none effect. Isaiah 1:11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? You give all these sacrifices now, but you're compelled sacrifices, yes. So they don't have the purpose of charity. Charity changes you. The Eucharist of Christ, they instead of calling it Corbin, they call it Eucharist. Corbin meant sacrifice. Eucharist means thanksgiving. Thankful sacrifice is a better term of what we are seeing. So what's the multitude of your sacrifices that are not thankful sacrifices, but forced sacrifices? They do no good. The burnt offerings, the rams, the fat, the fed beasts, and all your offerings don't do you any good because they're forced. You don't get the spiritual reward of that, because if you heard our last show on the hopeless and the helpless, we went through this and explained it in great detail in quantum physics terms as well as in practical terms, that you're changed by a society that operates by faith, hope, and charity. You're forced to change. You're forced to see your own selfishness. You're forced to look into the temple of your own heart and clean it out of your selfishness. It doesn't work unless you do that, and you are face to face with that right away. Bring no more vain oblations and sins, and is an abomination unto me. Why? Because they were forced. Your new moons mean nothing. You're forcing these Sabbaths, and you don't even understand the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about debt and not being in debt, by working 6 days and taking your day of rest, not taking your day of rest and having to pay it off. That's Sabbath. If you're in debt, you haven't kept the Sabbath. I don't care what day of the week you've taken off. You miss it when you focus on the ritual instead of the righteousness. You cannot create righteousness out of ritual. The ritual is to point to the precepts of righteousness. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. When you wave your hands in church, you say you're raising your hands to the Lord. If you are praying to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other during the week, ruling over your neighbor to have your benefits, those are your benefactors, not Christ. You wave your hands in church, they are full of blood. God will not hear you. I know you don't want to hear that, but I'm not tickling your ears. I'm telling you like it is. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Start to do good. Start to be righteous. And all those people say, oh, we're not saved by works. We're saved by what we think in our heads and what we say. They are liars. They have lied to themselves, and now it makes it easy for them to lie to you. Jesus said, not those who say, but those who do. You won't be able to do enough. You'll still be saved by grace. We don't deny that. But if you're not doing it, and if you hold back from doing it because they say you don't have to do, just think, they are liars. Do not listen to them. From them have nothing to do with. They are lost sheep that do not want to be found. You can tell them. You can bear witness to them. You can pray for them. But do not follow after them. Do not do the sloth that they do. Do not do the Corbin of the Pharisees that they do, making the word of God to none effect. Do as Christ said. Because then you're hearing the gospel of Christ, and that is what Paul was preaching. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. That means help them out. Plead for the widow. And we've had shows about this. Talking about, you know, this lady who called me from Monterey, and you can get tickets for sleeping in your car. And the reason they do that is to drive the poor out of their midst. They are falling through the net of the society that everybody is trapped in because they are rejecting the poor already. They don't want the poor around them. And so they drive them out with making these laws that you cannot sleep except in a building that you're renting or whatever. You can't sleep in your car. We need to go out and find those people. They are falling through that net, and we need to bring them into the kingdom and teach them the ways of the kingdom. If they will put on the wedding garments, they are welcome at the feast. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That is what's coming. You better repent. I warn you. It is now off my hands. It is now in yours. How has the faithful city become a harlot? Read Covenants of the Gods. It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. How many do you murder a year? How many abortions? How many countries? How many bombs? What are you doing? You are robbing one another. You are devouring your children and your grandchildren with debt. And you say, well, I have a right because I paid in. No, you don't. And God will not hear you because you have turned your back on the ways of God. But now, thank God, you've heard the truth. So now you can repent. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. The princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Does that sound like your government? Everyone loveth gifts, benefits, and followeth after reward, more benefits. They judge not the fatherless, not your responsibility. Neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Go get your welfare check. I don't have time for that. I'm saved over here in pretend save land. Isaiah 32, that walk to go down into Egypt where you guys are at and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of the Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. That is where you are, living in the shadow of Egypt. Not 20% of everything you produce, but way more goes away because you live in the shadow of Egypt under your father, the Pharaoh, the federal Pharaoh of the world. Isaiah 35:3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. That's what we should be doing, strengthening the poor, those that will hear, those that will not fall prey to Thessalonians, who will work and seek the ways of righteousness. We should help them up. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you, but you must repent. He came that ye might be saved. You must repent. You must turn around. You will not be saved by works, but you must turn around and seek the kingdom of heaven, the ways of Christ. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. That's where you're at. They've lied to you about the gospel. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers. That's what you do. You give power to them. Now, you still have to be friends with the unrighteous mammon. You must give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but start setting the table of the Lord. You will need that table. That none doth return from his wickedness. Many are, will not return. They will go on pretending that they are saved, pretending that they are seeking after Christ, but they will not do what Christ says, and they make up excuses. Oh, we don't have to do. We just have to think. They call it belief, but it's not the belief that Paul was talking about. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. That's why you see what you saw in Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin was that they did not strengthen the poor in the time of affluence, but the time of affluence is coming to an end. Repent now. Time is running out. Behold, this was the iniquity of the sister of Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her heart and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. We need to do that. And we can do that with your support. If we go on to verse 30, we saw, what shall we say? That Gentiles have attained even the righteousness of faith. And of course, who's he writing to? Is Putin's and his family, who were actually doing what the Jews should have been doing by free will offerings, and were so respected in Great Britain because they saw this and they still remembered the ancient ways. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. In other words, they weren't really doing righteous. They were following after their law. What law? Nomos. That's any kind of legal system that you create. But their legal system was wrought with unrighteousness because it was the Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect. Go on our website, read about Corban. Listen to the audios there. Because they sought it not by faith, but as if it were by the works of the law. In other words, they were going to take care of the widows and orphans, but they were going to do it by the works of a legal agreement, a Corban that forces the contributions of the people. Behold, a stumbling block, a rock of offense. Once you understand what Paul's talking about, you can actually understand what Paul is talking about. It's not that complicated. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. But you don't live by faith. You live by force. You live by the sword. You force your neighbors to contribute. You don't say, I have no coat. Will you give me one? You say, I have no coat, to the benefactors. Take a coat away from the rich man so that I may have a coat now. That is what your prayer is. What you do in your church, God don't even hear that. He don't even pay attention to that. You've gone out of the way, and your preachers have led you out of the way. And you should shake your fingers at them and scold them and rebuke them if you truly love them, and say, no more lies. Tell us the whole gospel. Tell us the truth. Verse 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. In other words, they wanted their benefits by the works of the law. Very simple. It's not complicated. Don't get lost in the sidetracks of the modern church. They were trying to take care of their widows and orphans by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They were greedy for gain. They said, let's have one purse. Let's let a ruler who will force each to contribute so that we will all gain. But they're trapped. What should have been for their welfare has trapped them. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Not dishonor or disgrace. That's what means not be ashamed. Not dishonor or disgrace. If you are praying to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, you are coveting your neighbor's goods through the power of that government, through those God's many who will rule and judge those people if they do not contribute, and you dishonor Christ. You say you believe, but you dishonor and disgrace Christ. You do not live by faith. You live by the works of the law. You are under the law. You are under the U.S. codes and under the British codes and you are under 10,000 laws. Because you are saved by the works of the law. You are provided for by the works of the law, the legal system. Do you understand what Paul is saying now? You are not to live by the works of the law. You are to live by faith. And those of you who believe that you believe and are not living by faith, hope, and charity, but by the works of the law of your governments and the men who exercise authority one over the other, have disgraced Christ. And you are workers of iniquity. And I say this to you because I love you and I want you to be saved. I want you to repent. I want you to turn around. And I am calling you to repentance. Isaiah 8:14. We will address that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom in a moment. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I said I was going to talk to you about Isaiah 8:14, and I got to do it quick because we haven't even got to chapter 10 yet. Isaiah, we're still in review, but we needed this review. I think a lot of you are beginning to see and put this together. I know a lot of you are probably making as mad as hell, but you're already in hell, so you might as well be as mad as hell at me. And right now you can't burn me at the stake, but I know if you could, you would. But Isaiah 8:14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Through covetousness they have made merchandise of you. The dog has returned to his vomit and the pig to his mire. You have again been entangled in the yoke of bondage because you have been greedy for gain. Your table has become a snare before them, which should have been for your welfare, has become a trap. And you are bound in by the locks and chains of debt, because you ate of the table of kings and rulers and men who could exercise authority one over the other, and you did not put a knife to your throat, as Proverbs says. You ate heartily. Free education, free health care. you are bound in a system that is going to go down and fail. Repent. Start setting the table of the Lord. I'm not going to tell you to come out of that system. I'm saying purge your heart of that system by becoming a part of the system of Christ. Start taking care of one another. You say, well, nobody in our congregation has a need. Great. Is there anybody in the whole world that has a need? Start tithing to ministers who understand the gospel and stop tithing to ministers who do not understand the gospel, who are not teaching the kingdom. Don't just give to every charity, because some charities do not strengthen the poor. Some charities have people working away in the kitchen, making a meal for fat people, lazy people, sluggish people sitting in a line outside. You need to have some discernment in your charity. Because if you're not strengthening the poor, if you're not teaching men to fish, then you are not doing them any good. Your charity is bitter. So don't be that way. Chapter 10, the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. Why is he saying Israel? He just gave you a big speech about Israel and Judah being united. Israel is out. That's not Judah. Israel are those ones that had left the other half of the kingdom. He wants Israel, it might be saved. Because that's part of the gospel, the whole world. Not just Jews, but Israel and anybody who will walk in the ways of faith. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Law is nomos again. Anything established, any legal system, anything, it's a very general term. The Romans had two words for law, jus juris and lex legis. In the Greek, we see nomos. It covers both. It's a very general term, so you have to read it in the context of what he's saying. Anything established, anything received by usage or custom, a law, a command. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. He describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Christ where? Into your hearts. So that you're doing righteousness like the Putins were doing righteousness, even though they didn't know the law. It was just written in them. And that's how Rufus found Gladys. And they gave birth to two beautiful daughters, and actually two sons as well. But we know more of the daughters than of the sons. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of the faith which we preach. You already know it. It's already written in your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, if you reduce the whole of the gospel down to those simple little words and divorce what Christ actually said, then when you say Lord Jesus that you believe in, it isn't the Lord Jesus that died. It's some made up Lord Jesus in your own mind. You have made God up in your own mind. It's not the Lord Jesus, not what he said. It's not what he said to do. If you really love him, whether they told you or not, you will be doing what he said to do. And those of you who are not doing what he said to do, and we mention doing, and you say, oh, we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. You're so mixed up, it's ridiculous. You are the workers of iniquity that Jesus warned that he was going to come and say, get ye from me, I know you not, because you don't know him. Now, many of you have not heard the word, but you're doing it already in your heart. But some of you have heard the word and misinterpreted it, and you're not doing it because you're not doing the word, and you're not doing it because it's not written in your heart. And to those, I pray for you. For those who are already doing it in their heart, pray for me, that I may stay preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Come together with others who are doing the same. Come into accord with them. Let iron sharpen iron. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Not be ashamed? What did we say ashamed was? Not dishonor what he said. You will be doing what he said. You will be charitable. You will be giving. You will not have any desire to pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. I've seen men say, well, I'm never going to collect Social Security. I don't want it. I don't need it. I've taken care of everything. I don't even want to apply for it. They know nothing of the legal spiegel stuff that we've talked about in the covenants of the gods. But just in their heart, they just don't want to have any. And they're often very charitable. I find more charitable people amongst the poor than I do amongst the rich. And Christ did the same. Psalms 25:2 says, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. 25:20, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not dishonor. Let me do what you said to do. For I put my trust in thee, not in men, not in systems that exercise authority one over the other, not in forced contributions and treasuries where thieves and robbers will break in and eat it up, and moths will eat it up. All done already. Already happened. There's nothing in there. It's zero. There is IOUs only. You are in debt and debt and debt, and now your children are in debt and your grandchildren are in debt, and every benefit you take adds burdens upon your children and grandchildren. You're broke. Your Sabbath is over. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Are you calling upon the Lord? Are you setting the table of the Lord? Are you coming together because you love one another? They shall not be ashamed in the evil time and the day of famine. They shall be satisfied. If you come together and live by faith, in an intentional community, I don't mean all in one place, but wherever you are at, seek to find the lost sheep where you are at and gather together. Help us help you find them. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all of thy commandments, including the ones that say, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, even through the agency of government. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, even if he is rich. You will not say, let's tax the rich. That is not in you to say that. You may be tempted to say that, but you should not be saying that if you love Christ. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimony also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I will speak of thy testimony also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I repeat that because it's so important to understand. It is so important to understand. I will not dishonor you, and I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Is that where you're at, or have you gone out of the way of the commandments and say, well, I thought a thought once, so I'm saved? My hands also will lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statute. Paul does not disagree with keeping the commandments. He repeats them over and over again. Read Isaiah 49:23, and the kings shall be thy nursing fathers. What kings? Aren't you all kings and priests? If you are all kings and priests, then you are helping one another. God answers his prayers through the brethren of the Father, who are all kings and priests. You must give to help one another, because it is the nature of Christ to do so, to sacrifice so that you may have life more abundant. Isaiah 57. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed, not dishonor. Anyway, there's more we can go on to that, but let's go on to Romans 3:31. Remember, in a slight review, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. No, the law's not gone away. It's not void. We establish the law. We don't live by the law. In other words, we don't live by forcing our neighbors to contribute to our welfare. We live by the law of love. And we do not covet our neighbor's goods, even if he is rich. And we take care of one another in the Eucharist of Christ, in the Corban that is cast up, not in the Corban of the Pharisees that makes the word of God to none effect. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can you be sinning and coveting your neighbor's goods by praying to benefactors who exercise authority when Christ said not to be that way? You couldn't do that if you believed in Christ. It would just go against your grain. You would just know. If you haven't known, then question, have I really believed in Christ? I wanted to, but I didn't. No one ever told me the whole gospel. Great. Now you get to repent. Wonderful. First step, big step towards the kingdom. You can't step towards the kingdom until you turn around and face the truth of the kingdom. Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No, you won't be. You will be living by faith. You will want to live by faith. You will strive to live by faith. You will sacrifice half of everything you have to live by faith, and so that others may learn to live by faith. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, his servants you are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You have yielded yourself to unrighteous masters, who rule over and kill and do not respect life and take away your rights. You're not yielding to God. He is giving you rights. He is giving you responsibility. He's giving you life. You can't even hear him anymore. But then, of course, he can't hear you because you have gone out of his way. You have to turn around and start walking back. He'll run out and meet you. You can't make it back. You've gone so far out of the way, you can't make it back. But he will come out to you. But you got to turn around. You got to admit you've gone the wrong way. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Romans 7:7. For I had not known lust except that the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He says lust, and he says thou shalt not covet as a part of the same thing. Yes. Desiring those benefits is lust. Applying for those benefits is not chaste. It is adultery. It is national adultery. Verse 8, but sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandments which was ordained of life, I found to be unto death. Why? Because they made it rules and not the spirit of the law. For sin, taking occasion by the commandments, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The law is not done away with. The legal system was done away with because they had another king. one Jesus. They no longer had to pay into the treasury of Herod. They were cast out of that system. They opted out of that system, but they still had to pay into Christ's system. Nobody compelled them, nobody arrested them, no one kicked in their doors, but they still had to support one another. Not only those in their congregation, but that the whole world might be saved. We have ministers now that are giving up everything to bring you this message. What are you giving up to help them bring this message? When then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin that it might appear, sin working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. The law is spiritual. It has to be written on your heart, not in books. You are under the law. You are under 10,000, hundreds of thousands of laws. But your priests and ministers who are supposed to enforce that law do not even keep it themselves. They put you under austere programs, but they live like kings because you are no longer kings and priests. Christ came to make you king and priest. But you must set the table of the Lord. You must turn around and turn away and start seeking the righteousness of Christ. Believeth, from the word pistio in the Greek, appears in Matthew and Mark 10 times, each in Luke 9 times, but in John 99 times, over 20 times in Romans, while it only appears once in 2 Corinthians and Jude and Philippians and 2 Timothy, and it doesn't even appear in Philemon and 2 John. Or in Revelations, the word doesn't even appear. The noun from the word pistis, this believeth, is from this pistis, is totally absent, lending credence to the assertion that John is focusing on the active nature of faith. Faith is an action word. You need to understand that. If you have faith, you will be doing what Christ said. You will be doing what the early church says. Most churches don't even know what they were doing. They don't even understand the conflict between the governments of the world and what the word even world means and Christianity, because they have gone out of the way of Christ. In James 2:18 it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. So you're right up there with the devil because you believe that there's a God. You're equal with the devil. Now, do you want to become a part of Christ? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Those of you who say you're not saved by works, you're saved by faith, you are giving license to sloth. And sloth is what has brought you back into the bondage of Egypt, which God said never to go back to, and Jesus did not come and say, okay, all you have to do is believe in me and you can go into Egypt and be in bondage. He didn't say that. That isn't the message of the gospel. He came to set men free, and you are not free anymore. So you must not be listening to the gospel. So you better start rethinking your eschatology, because it's been delivered to you by wolves in sheep's clothing, by damnable heresy bringers. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham actually did something. He put his faith into action. He began works. They weren't perfect. They weren't right. They weren't clear. They weren't concise. They were confused at times. But he put his faith into action, because faith is an action word. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. You getting the picture now? You're not saved by your thinking. This is why Christ said, not those who say, but those who do. Jude 1:5, but I would put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. How could people who believed be back in the land of Egypt again? And that is where you are at. And if you don't believe me, go read Employee versus Enslaved. Go look at the videos. Go listen to the audios and realize that you have gone back to the land of Egypt. Worse than it was even for them. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 12. And so we go on. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that a word? Is that an incantation? That you have to say Yeshua and then automatically you're saved? Magic word? The name of the Lord is who he is, what he said, what he believed, what he was trying to bring to your knowledge and understanding into your heart. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then saith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and are by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Time to repent. Time to turn around. Stop being a gainsaying people. Start living by faith, hope, and charity. Start leaving Egypt by getting Egypt out of your hearts and setting the table of the Lord. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.